So raise the flag of unity and forward with the Union. Tooraloo, I'll tell you something awfu' true. You wouldn't hear your telly the new if it wasn't for the Union.
And that was another selection from the Broadside Archives. It was called It Wasn't for the Union, and the name of the singer, Matt McGinn. He, according to the linear notes, found himself working in a factory that made wood screws and nails. The sound of the machines was so deafening that most workers refused to work there. Shortly after his arrival, management instituted a new policy requiring a 33% increase in workload combined with a 10% raise in wages. McGinn immediately complained, and within days of having been hired, he found himself appointed shop steward. The factory's first strike followed shortly. Everywhere McGinn worked, he was very involved in the union, which frequently resulted in his being shown the door. And he wrote an Americanized version of this song, which was printed some years, actually in the same year, 1962. And again, that's Matt McGinn, If It Wasn't for the Union. Well, welcome to Bathrop Spears Broadsides, the Thursday show. I'm Robert Norris, and this show runs for about 2 hours, at which point it's followed by Uncle Dennis's From the Cream to the Dregs, where you can actually hear some music, some decent music. I guess you'll hear some music, mostly folk songs from the 60s and 70s on this show, between discussions of articles, phone interviews, and mostly today, a lot of taped interviews, catching up with the struggles in Santa Cruz around homeless civil rights issues that I've been involved in, specifically around, of course, the sleeping ban, which is the law that criminalizes homeless people at night after 11 o'clock. Municipal Code 6.36010A makes it illegal for homeless people to sleep, period, unless they're in a house or hotel. And shelter situation is, according to Doug Loisel, the Homeless Services Center executive director, who gets paid $70,000+ a year to know, pretty deplorable in that, according to him, there are no open beds whatsoever in the summer months. And they're hoping to open up a new shelter at some point, but that's not happening now. So it means that 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people, my estimate of the homeless people in the city, have no shelter, no legal place to go, and they face $97 tickets. And I always kind of have to brief people on this because I'm sorry for those of you who've heard it before, but you'd be surprised how many haven't. And we find that when we're talking to people at the Saturday protests, which we've been doing downtown on Pacific Avenue against the crackdown that the Downtown Association and various businesses, the city attorney, the city police, the city council have all been colluding on. Specifically, laws that reserve more and more of the sidewalk, well, let's say they prohibit more and more of the sidewalk from innocent activities that poor people are wont to do, like sit down, like peacefully spare change, like perform for donation, like, well, simply try to use the public spaces other than stand there or keep moving or shop. And the latest round of downtown ordinances came up this last winter, and removed still more of the sidewalk area downtown. The sidewalk areas in other business districts and other streets just does not exist as far as street performing, political tabling, panhandling, or sitting down on the sidewalk goes. It is illegal to do all those things on all sidewalks in Santa Cruz near businesses, with the exception of Pacific Avenue. And the only reason it's not illegal on Pacific Avenue is because Pacific Avenue is so broad. The actual wording of the ordinance says they have to be 14 feet from a building, 14 feet from a kiosk, 14 feet from a bench, 14 feet from a telephone, you name it. And the huge areas are taken out of public use. And, of course, at night, all areas are taken out of public use as far as sleeping goes. And, of course, all areas are taken out of public use after dark as far as the park goes. And all parking lots are out of public use as of 2 years ago under the regime of Mayor Ryan Bookshop Santa Cruz Coonerty, who is still on the council, though he's no longer mayor, and is still supporting anti-homeless laws, along with the rest of the city council. And this is kind of a repeated message that I put out at the beginning of almost every show or in the midst of each show, because I'm assuming that there are some newcomers, some new ears who haven't heard this, who find this strange or remarkable, or maybe not remarkable, but at least something they didn't know about before. And that's what we do every Saturday in front of, we're in front of Bunny's Shoes, which is a shop downtown that joined with other stores in helping the city attorney to criminalize sleeping for two homeless musicians. Well, isn't it already criminal for everybody? Yes, it is. But this particular injunction and the court of Judge Burdick now makes it an immediate jailing offense for these two musicians to sleep anywhere in the downtown area. We've been pressing to use this as a sort of a poster child story to encourage people to start patronizing stores that are going to say no to this kind of anti-homeless activity, supporting the sleeping ban and so forth, and say yes to stores that oppose this kind of activity, and no to stores that either support criminalizing homeless people and are in favor of these bans, or prefer to close their eyes and pretend they don't exist while every night people suffer because of them. And that's why every Saturday we've been out in front of Bunny's Shoes, which is a store that, you know, it's not really better or worse than many of the other shops downtown, except they chose in April, Michelle Chase, the manager, chose to sign a declaration, mostly concerned about her own property and concerned that these two musicians not be allowed to sleep in the breezeway of the city. It's actually private property. The breezeway that runs from the Palomar Hotel over to Front Street, and indeed it's private property, and indeed it's closed at night, and indeed it's trespass, and they could be convicted of that. Although I think it only happened once or twice that they were actually cited for being in there. But most of the citations are for sleeping at night and don't involve the businesses at all, but involve the police department. But the businesses have allowed themselves to be a part of this, and they, in fact, were the key group that went to city council this last January and February to move for a harshening of the downtown ordinances. And so they're the people that we feel are really best poised to exert influence on a city council that is otherwise completely impervious to the demands of conscience and human rights around the homeless issue. I mean, I think it's just simply true. And you say, well, what about the wonderful homeless services center and the Rebelly Family Shelter and the new Paul Lee Homeless Loft? And indeed, there are space for a couple of hundred people in the programs, and actually, there's apparently no emergency walk-in shelter, according to Doug Lussell. I thought there was 40 to 60 beds, but apparently that's not the case, according to what he told me. I'm not sure if he's quite accurate in that. I think he may be wrong about that. Maybe a few more beds than he's actually aware of in terms of the church program. But as far as I understand, and I'm going to be having him on the show next week at the same time, in case you want to tune in, he's agreed to come on the air to talk about some issues. And to discuss the financial problems that the Homeless Services Center finds itself in. There are zero beds available for homeless people who just walk in off the street, who the cop says, go find a place to sleep at the homeless shelter. And the reality is there is no homeless shelter. So it's a big fraud, and it's being maintained not just by the police and by the city council, but by the merchants. And, of course, you know, nobody likes to be seen as cruel or the meanest city in the country, although Santa Cruz has in the past decade been on that list a couple times, and I don't think it made it this year, but to me that was sort of up to the happenstances of fate rather than any really objective criteria. And actually I'm going to be probably doing some more information about the meanest cities in the United States according to the National, I think it's either the National Law Center for Homelessness and Poverty or the National Homeless Coalition on Homelessness, I guess it's called. But right now, I'm going to go directly to some interviews on the street from the last week or so, and your calls, if you call in, because this is a call-in show. 427-3772 is the call-in number, 427-FRSC. We're going to talk also about the new Santa Monica lawsuit by the American Civil Liberties Union and another group of attorneys, three other attorneys, but the one other legal group that are filing, have filed against the city of Santa Monica for its law that criminalizes poor people at night, as Santa Cruz does. So you currently have lawsuits pending in Santa Barbara, Sacramento, and now Santa Monica. You have settlements that ban using these sleeping bans. The sleeping bans themselves are now banned. It makes it legal for homeless people to sleep actually on the streets at night in Los Angeles and San Diego. In Palo Alto, you're allowed to sleep in your vehicle. In Richmond, you cannot be arrested or cited unless they have a shelter bed to offer you. And in Laguna Beach, you're allowed to sleep on the beaches. But in Santa Cruz, it's illegal everywhere. With some very limited exceptions, if you go in a church parking lot or a business parking lot in a vehicle with the written permission of the church, and two of the vehicles can be there and three vehicles can be in a business parking lot, that happens relatively rarely, and it even causes trouble. We have one case, a woman named Sharon Pate, who is a member of 24 Hour Fitness, has gotten a second ticket for being in her vehicle, not even asleep, after the deadline of 11 p.m. at night when the sleeping ban comes into effect. But she's a member of 24 Hour Fitness, and she has a right to be there. And yet at the same time, the police are going after her. Again, it's a sort of, it's a kind of a strange juggernaut mentality that happens when anti-homeless scapegoating begins to spread. And that, I think, is what's happening in Santa Cruz. Anyway, you can hear some voices from the street, and you can make your own voice heard by giving a call. 427-3772 is the call-in number. Let's hear a few interviews, and maybe we'll hear from you, too.
Playing street music with my You're partner.
Trying to play street music. I'm interrupting your concert. Haven't you noticed that?
Yes.
I'm going to let you get back to the street music. But could you, if you can, maybe you want to chat with these two businesses.
And this is actually Brent Adams, who's a mediator and an individual who's also trying to work with the Street Performers Guild. They had a meeting a couple of weeks ago, but I haven't heard much from him since. He also successfully was able to make communication with Jack's Hamburgers, and when they had a major protest being organized against them for their discrimination against homeless people, and we were able to work out that whole problem by straightforward and honest discussions between Connie, the owner, and those of us who were concerned about the issue. And now we're all happy patrons of Jack's, those of us who are big meat eaters, that is.
See business boom at Bunny's and at the Hat Company, not to mention civil rights bloom in Santa Cruz.
You'd like nothing more than to see. That's great. All right, now we're getting somewhere.
Nothing. Well, let's put it this way.
You said it.
I'd like to see that, among other things. Let's get back to the drumming and avoid the interruption.
I'd like nothing more to see business boom.
Well, nothing
all
more.
All right.
Nothing less.
Remember that, folks. Robert said.
Do I contradict myself? Very well, then. I contradict myself. Yes. Here we have two strummers on the sidewalk. What are you strumming?
Currently, I'm playing some Dispatch.
Oh, and what's your name?
Nicole Heisinger.
And Nicole, is this one of your first times on the sidewalk, or have you been a regular sidewalk strummer?
I wouldn't consider myself a regular sidewalk strummer, but I've been here a few times.
Are you going to do some strumming for us?
I guess so.
Free Radio wants to hear you.
Okay.
Go for it.
Looks like we're off the air here, or not off the air, actually. We have some kind of a technical problem. Let's listen to a little music while I try to work on this situation. Don't go away, folks.
A baby cries in the morning sun as the mother looks down on her fatherless one, and the rescue team goes on and on. More good men going down. more good men going down. And her eyes, they show a tear of pain as she looks out through her window pane. Well, her man ain't coming home again. More good men going down. Well, he died when he was just 22. And a young man in his prime. And he left a wife and a baby boy. More good men going down. More good men going down. Well, the mother will live, and her boy will grow. In a few more years, you'll never know that the mother from those other times has lost another man to the mines. More good men going down. More good men.
And that, of course, was More Good Men Going Down, of course, because of the chorus. And the song was by the Broadside Singers with Pat Skye, about the coal mines, written by a guy called David Cohen, better known throughout his career by the stage name of David Blue, cohort of Bob Dylan and Phil Oakes, hung around Greenwich Village in the early 60s, recorded for Elektra, Reprise, and Asylum Records, and the song Wanted Man was recorded by the Eagles. This was recorded in 1964. So, I actually found my way into the tape again. We're going to listen to a few interviews and various street blather and see what you think. Again, the call-in number here is 427-3772. And then we're going to talk about stuff that's happening in some other cities and the Santa Monica injunction that is being sought against the city for criminalizing the homeless people in the Chubna case, as Nadine Chubna, Keith Green, Alejandra Solana, Jade Gilbert, and Lisa and Thomas Martin are suing the city of Santa Monica and the Santa Monica Police Department. Could it be the Santa Cruz Police Department soon? Well, we hope so. And you can actually help that whole process if you yourself have suffered citations under the sleeping ban. And if you are also a person who would like to be indoors in some kind of housing or shelter, but you are not able to do that, rather than a person who chooses to be outside as a lifestyle choice, although I think that has its legitimacy too, the cases the attorneys are looking for have to do with those who realize that there is no choice, and they can say, you know, I wanted to go inside and get shelter, and I wasn't able to do that. And that's, if you have any, if you're in that situation or you know someone who is, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833.
I'm here on a sunny Friday, I think it's the 10th of July, in front of El Centro, with a nice display here of many, many kinds of artwork in the form of jewelry. These are pendants, I guess, is that what you call these? Or
necklaces, wire work, string. Natural stuff that we find traveling.
And so you guys are local or out of town?
We travel, but we come here often. Maybe for the last 2 months we've been coming here, well, two or three times a month.
And you've been on Pacific Avenue, and apparently you've been telling me you've been approached by the police, but not really bothered extensively?
Well, we have to move every hour, and we're not allowed to, we have to move 100 feet every hour, 100 yards every hour, and we're not allowed to be near so many different places.
It's kind of an obstacle course.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to stay, just to find a place that we're allowed to set up.
How's the business? Is the community responding?
People love it. We make good money when it's all done set up.
How many hours yesterday were you set up?
About 3 or 4. We moved 3 times.
And how did you do business-wise?
Oh, we did all right, like $200.
And how does that compare with other cities?
Equal.
And would you say that the rules in other cities are the same, worse, or better?
There's worse and better.
Give me an example of each.
Venice Beach, there's almost no rules, except for they give you spaces to sell at. You got designated places where vendors can sell artwork, and other cities, there's no vending at all for nobody.
So, for example, one of those cities would be?
Arcata.
How about the police treatment in Arcata and in Venice Beach compared with here?
I've never had no contact with police in Venice. Arcata is good and bad. There was good police and bad police.
Are you in a vehicle? I mean, are you sleeping in a vehicle?
We live in a vehicle.
You know that's illegal in Santa Cruz.
Oh, yeah. We leave the city limits every night.
What's your name?
David Frederick.
Robert David. And who is this questionable person here?
Friend of mine, traveler.
Hey, traveler. So anyway, I'll be playing this on free radio probably Sunday morning. Anything you want to add about things you've seen or things you want people to know?
Come to the Rainbow Gathering next year.
How was the Rainbow Gathering this year?
It was really good.
Where was it?
New Mexico.
And was there much police interference?
There's the most ever, probably. But they stayed outside the gathering mostly and fucked with people. But inside the gathering, it was pretty quiet. There was a little couple problems, but nothing serious.
How many folks showed up?
It's hard to say. Some estimates were closer to 10,000, others were closer to 30. It couldn't count.
And what did you hear about police activity on the periphery?
Oh, it was one out of 2 cars was getting in the first couple of weeks, and then 1 out of 3 by the end of the time, but almost nobody could get in without having the whole car searched.
And were these voluntary searches, or did...
No. No voluntary searches. We don't voluntarily consent to search.
Is this in Arizona, you say?
New Mexico, close to town.
So is there some kind of regulation in New Mexico that allows police officers to search cars at will?
These are federal agents, and they're in a federal park, and they'll use a dog to find probable cause.
And, sorry, say again?
U.S. Marshals.
And how many marshals are employed in this virtuous activity?
Anywhere between 7 to 10.
Inside the state park, there was closer to 50, and they would switch out daily as new people would come in, more like a training operation.
And
there was training officers.
Were any people arrested or any property seized?
Millions and millions of things were seized, I'm sure. I've seen all types of pipes. 215 cards was torn up and ripped. People that was medically allowed to smoke, have marijuana, was all confiscated because federal agents don't abide by no 215s, no legal marijuana.
This happened within the last couple of weeks, right?
It was all last week and the last 2 months, and it's still going on now. It's
but Obama is going to save us, right?
I hope.
Apparently not in the first 6 months, huh?
Hope.
Oh, yes, it's the audacity of hope, or perhaps the stupidity of hope. Anyway, we've been talking with...
David.
And...
Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon. I'm Robert. Okay, well, it's a sunny day. It's getting warmer around 1 o'clock, and I'm near the Catholic campus, you know, talking with a very cute poodle owner. What's your name?
My name's River Tabor.
And what's the name of the poodle?
Gucci Ketzel.
Now, as I walked by, I made the passing, cutting comment, oh, ho, a criminal canine or some such thing, to which you replied...
She's a service dog.
And, of course, when I went back and said, what kind of service is that, you gave me a sly look and explained that
There's a special kind of problem that a police officer may have if she or he wants to determine your bona fides.
Well, the police officer can't ask you for papers because they consider it harassment. So if you have a dog, all you have to do is say she's a service dog, and they can't check.
So have you actually had that experience where a police officer asked you for papers and you said, stop harassing me?
No, but it has happened. I know a person, and she told me she has a dog, and she said, just say it's a service dog, and they can't ask you for papers because it's considered harassment. And she said that happened to her before.
I'd better check this out with the law the next time I see them. Are you a local?
Yes, I'm a local.
And have you been, violating the criminal code consistently for the last 20 years?
Not 20 years, about two.
And so you're a newcomer?
Yeah, I'm a newcomer to Santa Cruz. Originally, I'm from Salinas.
Are you a career criminal or just an occasional weekend felon?
Depends on the crime.
So what do you notice out here on the avenue? Any comments you have? How are the police treating you?
Pretty good. I mean, I haven't had any brush-ins yet. Yes. I haven't had any interferences yet. But, you know, one time my mom, they're like, hey, you know you're not supposed to have that dog on the street. To my mom, she's like, oh my God, I just found this dog here. And then the one guy's like, really? And so I haven't had any brush-ins like that with the police, but, you know, I've seen my fair share of police.
So you and your mom are up in cahoots, a pair of confirmed canine criminals.
Yes, you could say that.
Bad dog, no. It won't.
Pretzel?
No pretzel.
That doesn't
sound Sochi. Right.
Sochi.
Well, I believe you and Sochi.
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 What does that mean?
It's a Mexican goddess of flowers and poetry and pregnant women.
Xochitl.
Xochi, actually. She hasn't gone into the Quetzal part, but.
Give her time.
Yeah, give her time. And this is actually her full drum size, if anyone was wondering.
I'm not going to describe this criminal animal, lest she be apprehended later. Anything you want to add before we push on in search of further crime?
Keep on keeping on.
Thank you. Let's take a little music on the corner. Got a guitar, a banjo, and what looks like a bass and viol on the corner of SoCal and Pacific.
I'm going out on that highway, listening to that beer truck whine.
Hassled, I say, play on. Even after you get hassled, I say.
Yes. I'm going for play. You know that song, Rocket Launcher? If I had a rocket launcher.
That's a great song.
No,
son of a bitch would die. Yes, I know.
More than arrested.
No, actually, might stir the population to revolt.
Rocket launcher.
Probably not.
And, yeah, some brief interludes downtown with the street performers, those that remain. About the service dog question, I don't really want to spread misinformation or also avoid startling and exciting new strategies. I don't know the extent to which it's considered to be harassment if you demand papers around a service dog and how much that is... How far disabled people with genuine service dogs who don't have a lot of paper on them are protected under the Americans with Disabilities Act. But in a way, that kind of leads into the next subject I want to take up. By the way, you're tuned to Free Radio in case you just tuned in, 101.1 FM and www.freakradio.org. The call-in number here is 427-3772, and you're invited to call in if you have comments or thoughts. If you want to catch me off air, the number is 423-HUFF, 423-4833. On the 14th, this story, I just actually read it, I guess it was today, 2 days later, I got it on the email. ACLU challenges Santa Monica over treatment of homeless. The ACLU of Southern California on July 14th filed a civil rights lawsuit in U.S. District Court in Los Angeles against the city of Santa Monica, saying police routinely violate homeless people's constitutional rights and the Americans with Disabilities Act. hence the disabilities tie-in, by harassing and arresting them even as the city fails to provide sufficient shelter beds. Does this sound familiar, folks? Santa Monica is effectively running a deportation program for the homeless, said Mark Rosenbaum, the organization's legal director. The suit is similar to previous legal challenges against Laguna Beach and Santa Barbara that Rosenbaum said have resulted in policy changes that have helped the homeless. I've heard of the policy changes in Laguna Beach. I think they were allowing homeless people to sleep on the beach after the February lawsuit. I don't know about Santa Barbara, and hopefully we'll learn some more about that in the days to come. In its 20-page complaint filed jointly with Munger, Tolles, and Olson, another legal firm, on behalf of six individuals, the ACLU alleges that, quote, Santa Monica should be a kind of oasis for those forced to live and sleep outdoors, a place where the climate and open spaces make homelessness somewhat less horrible than it would be most other places. Rather, it said, the city has made it a crime to be homeless. Sounds kind of familiar, folks. Again, I feel like I'm in Santa Monica for some reason. The complaint said police routinely prod chronically homeless people to move to other places, such as Venice, Culver City, or downtown L.A.'s Skid Row. Earlier this year, the city released data showing it had reduced its street population by 8% from 2007 levels to 915. Officials credited an effort to ensure that individuals most at risk find transitional housing and treatment. A high percentage of those sleeping on the streets have mental illnesses or addictions, or so they say. The complaint mentions a 56-year-old woman with paranoid schizophrenia who said she fears that spaceships are trying to kill her. After being jailed three times and having her fears scoffed at by the police, she relocated to Venice. They're arresting people because they're poor and mentally disabled, Rosenbaum said. And that's a story by Martha Groves. There's some interesting comments on the story. I don't understand why the ACLU would sue Santa Monica. I see the poor line up for bags of food. I see them sleep in the green areas and along the beaches. I've seen police talk to the homeless, but usually because they were blocking the sidewalk, so people had to walk in the street, or one guy just stopped in front of the 4th Street off-ramp. There's quite a bit of human urine and excrement around. You smell it before you see it, but I've never seen anyone hassled by the police for no reason. And this is another defense of Santa Monica. You see the same kind of comment on Santa Cruz Sentinel website, which talks about these things when the issues are raised, which isn't really very often, except that usually they're raised in a negative way by attempts to, for example, there's a recent attempt to cut back on the right to park near the homeless service center in a vehicle because it's annoyed some of the businesses that feel that homeless people's behavior is something that should be addressed by making sure that homeless vehicles don't park there for any length of time. So that, I guess Doug Loisel himself admitted trying to put in a two-hour parking limit along, I guess it's Coral Street, the street that abuts the homeless services center with all the different programs that aren't really emergency shelter, but that provide some shelter for people who are in the programs, but not in any way for the overwhelming majority of people who are outside. So there's a lot of interesting, often the comments are as interesting as the stories in a way, although the story here is a very interesting one. The Santa Monica lawsuit I found interesting enough to contact the legal firm down south. So I called them earlier today and I talked to a woman named Laura Smolow, who's one of the six attorneys mentioned on this lawsuit. The other ones are Bradley Phillips, Jonathan Altman, Mark Rosenbaum of the ACLU, Catherine Lamon, and Jenny Pasquiera. That's Pasquarella, sorry. And again, this is a lawsuit. I'm going to read through parts of it because I think it's quite eloquent and telling. Nadine Chubna, Keith Green, Alejandra Solana, these are the plaintiffs, the people that are suing the city for being harassed. Jade Gilbert and Lisa and Thomas Martin are suing the city of Santa Monica and the Santa Monica Police Department. They're looking for relief. And here is how it's described. Santa Monica is one of the most affluent communities in the United States, with a median home value of $1.65 million. That extraordinary overall affluence, however, masks the plight of homeless people, thousands of city residents, who are poor, disabled, or frequently both, many of whom have no place to sleep or exist except outdoors. Actually, the word homeless hasn't been used yet. It's just poor and disabled people. For all intents and purposes, the city has made it a crime, and here comes the word, to be homeless within its borders, and instituted a policy and practice of using its police officers to harass and intimidate homeless residents in order to force them to leave Santa Monica and relocate to nearby communities such as Venice, Malibu, and downtown Los Angeles. This policy and practice works a double hardship on these residents by discriminating both based on poverty and disability, as most of Santa Monica's homeless population suffer disabling mental and physical conditions. Santa Monica violates its homeless residents' constitutional rights by, one, making it a crime to sleep in public places, despite the fact that there is no shelter available for most of the homeless in Santa Monica, and two, by selectively and discriminatorily citing homeless and disabled residents for offenses such as sitting, sleeping, or smoking cigarettes in public, loitering and littering, with the intention of driving residents out of Santa Monica and forcing them to move on to other cities. By criminalizing and penalizing unavoidable conduct and inherent aspects of homelessness, while failing to provide adequate shelter and services to its homeless population, Santa Monica violates residents' constitutional protection against cruel and unusual punishment, their constitutional rights to equal protection, due process, and freedom from illegal search and seizure, and freedom of movement, and their statutory protections against discrimination based on disability. One homeless and severely mentally disabled resident, Nadine Chobna, has been arrested and jailed by the SMPD, Santa Monica Police Department, at least three times for, quote, camping, despite the fact that the city provides no other place for her to sleep. Ms. Chobna is 56 years old and receives Social Security Insurance, SSI, due to her mental illness, paranoia, schizophrenia. Ms. Chobna sees spaceships coming after her every night. She fears the spaceships are trying to kill her, and she believes they murdered her mother, father, sister, and other family members. As a result of her arrests and routine harassment by the SMPD, who know her by name and tell her she may not sleep on the streets and must move on or go back up north, Ms. Chobna relocated to Venice, where she sleeps on a sidewalk near the beach. Ms. Chobna reports that SMPD officers know that she sees spaceships and tell her they do not believe that her spaceships exist. According to Ms. Chobna, SMPD officers also know that she receives SSI checks and was without shelter. Even now, when Ms. Chobna walks to Santa Monica to collect her SSI check, she fears the harassment by the SMPD that has become so routinized and regular. Another homeless resident, Keith Green, is a 38-year-old recovering addict who was working days at a Vernon produce plant when he was arrested by the SMPD at approximately 5 a.m. one morning in early 2009 for sleeping just outside a local shelter where there were no available beds. Out of fear that he would lose his job, Mr. Green pleaded with police officers not to arrest him and showed them his employee badge. Officers responded that there was a Santa Monica policy to arrest residents for camping. Mr. Green had no possessions or property with him other than a Bible, an Alcoholics Anonymous book, and shoes and clothing for work. Officers frisked Mr. Green, discovered no weapons or contraband, and then arrested and handcuffed him. They transported him to jail, where he was forced to spend 2 days before appearing in court, pleading guilty and receiving a sentence of time served. Mr. Green thereafter lost his job. The experiences of Ms. Chobna and Mr. Green are illustrative of the harassment, humiliation, and degradation suffered every day by homeless residents of Santa Monica as a consequence of the unlawful and unconstitutional conduct of the City of Santa Monica and the Santa Monica PD. This conduct is deliberately targeted at the disabilities that are endemic to the chronically homeless population, as exemplified by officers taunting a homeless person by stating, "You are either an alcoholic or bipolar, and your life is going to amount to nothing." Plaintiffs accordingly bring this action for preliminary and permanent injunctive relief and declaratory relief based on and so forth and so on. Plaintiffs are chronically homeless residents of Santa Monica. Each is homeless within the meaning of the federal law under the Stuart B. McKinney Homeless Assistance Act in that he or she is, quote, without a fixed, regular, or adequate nighttime residence, or a person who resides in a place not ordinarily used for sleeping accommodations, such as the streets, automobiles, abandoned buildings, etc. Each qualifies as a chronically homeless person in that he or she is either, one, an unaccompanied homeless person with a disabling condition who has been continuously homeless for a year or more, and two, an unaccompanied individual with a disabling condition who has had at least 4 episodes of homelessness in the past 3 years, and that's from HUD's definition of chronic homelessness, housing and urban development. Plaintiff Nadine Chobna is 56 years old and a chronically homeless resident of Venice. We've talked about her before. Plaintiff Keith Green is 38 years old and a chronically homeless resident of Santa Monica, and we've also talked about him. Other plaintiffs include Alejandra Solana, 46 years old. He's chronically homeless, suffers from diabetes and a schizoaffective disorder for which she takes antipsychotic and other medications. So it's Alejandra. Plaintiff Jade Gilbert is a chronically homeless resident who has had a difficult time finding a place to sleep and lost part-time work due to the actions of the SMPD. And plaintiffs Lisa and Thomas Martin are chronically homeless, married couple, who sleep in what they describe as a bunker hole, an underground hole not visible from above ground in Santa Monica, where they await space in a shelter. They have spent months trying to find space in a shelter, but they are always full. And I'm kind of thumbing through this lawsuit to get some of the substantive stuff out so you can get past some of the legalisms. Here we go. Santa Monica targets its chronically homeless residents by criminalizing homelessness to drive them out of Santa Monica. The City of Santa Monica website describes the municipality as a, quote, diverse, progressive California beach city, unquote, with a, quote, forward-thinking, caring community. Have you heard this before, perhaps? A section of the website aimed at Santa Monica's tourist traffic thus highlights, quote, award-winning and top-rated shopping, the attraction-packed pier, and world-renowned designers, name brands, and independent boutiques. With 3.5 miles of Southern California beaches and over 300 days of sunshine, the Santa Monica Beach is a prime piece of California coastline and a welcome retreat for vacationers and locals alike. Tragically, this idealized view of Santa Monica does not reflect the experience of Santa Monica's homeless residents. According to a 2006 study of the Santa Monica homeless population, an estimated 33% of the Santa Monica homeless population is chronically homeless. In addition, 94% of this population is estimated to suffer from mental disease, mental illness, substance abuse, or both, proportions far higher than the national estimates. Now, at some point, I'm going to have to talk about the danger of categorizing homeless people as either drunks, junkies, or crazy people, although I guess they're talking about the chronically homeless, where that means you've been homeless for more than a year. Or there's two aspects of that definition under HUD. That was how you have a disabling condition. You can also have physically disabling conditions as well. So I don't know. It is a dangerous step to simply dismiss homeless people or those you want to be concerned about as your target group, as simply being poor, disabled people who can't do anything else, and they would take shelter if they could get it. I mean, that's true, certainly for a significant number of people, but it doesn't cover the whole situation, and it doesn't cover the reality of the fact that there needs to be provision for people who, the main group of people who are made homeless by economic conditions. Nowhere is this discussed in this lawsuit, probably, at least so far, because under the current Supreme Court and the current judicial system, economic hardship, economic disability, economic status is not considered a legitimate criterion, even though it is a criteria that all of us are going to, a criterion all of us are going to learn more and more about, at least those of us who are finding our jobs and our housing disappearing. But this is an attempt to deal with laws that criminalize homeless people generally through looking at how they impact a particular part of the homeless population, the disabled population, those who have either a so-called mental illness diagnosis or those who have some kind of addiction and substance abuse problem. Sounds like a caller who started a call but then stopped. Caller, call in back if you'd like, 427-3772
is the call-in number if you'd like to call in. We're reading the Santa Monica lawsuit filed 2 days ago in Santa Monica to overturn the Santa Monica sleeping ban. The City of Santa Monica, the lawsuit continues, reports that in 2009, an estimated 915 homeless residents slept in Santa Monica each night, although less than 20% of this population can be accommodated in local emergency and transitional shelters. Other sources indicate that the homeless population of Santa Monica could be much higher. I'm going to take this call because we just like callers. If you're going to call in, there is a second line you can use, 469-3119. Try that line, caller. If you're listening to the show and you want to get in, try 469-3119. And hopefully you will be able to get in. 469-3119. Here's some more from the lawsuit. Approximately 180 beds are available in Santa Monica shelters for stays of up to 30 days or up to 6 months. And Santa Cruz has a number of programs similarly. There's 29 families that are accommodated in the Reboli Family Shelter. I think there's 60 beds in the Paul Lee Aloft. I may be wrong about that number. There's about 40 or 50 spaces in the Page Smith Community House. And I think there's about 30 in the River Street Mini Shelter, as I call it. That doesn't add up to more than 100 or 200 beds for Santa Cruz either. So Santa Cruz and Santa Monica in some ways are quite similar. Approximately 180 beds are available for stays in Santa Monica. Given the limited available beds, these facilities are consistently full, and there are lengthy waiting lists for every shelter and housing program for the homeless in Santa Monica, and that seems to be the case here in Santa Cruz as well. The city also fails to provide sufficient transitional long-term housing for the homeless. Lack of available shelter is due in part to the fact that the city of Santa Monica relies predominantly on private entities to provide the city's homeless services. Now, I understand from talking to Doug Lassell that there's a sort of a 60-40% split in terms of the amount of funding that the Homeless Services Center, which is sort of the primary homeless service center for homeless people, telephones, lockers, very limited access to shelter programs, mostly in the winter, two meals a day. They apparently 60% of that is covered by various government grants and 40% by private, if I remember Doug's conversation with me earlier this week accurately. Furthermore, upon information and belief for more than a decade, the lawsuit continues, the city of Santa Monica has either maintained a cap on funding for homeless programs and services or failed to significantly increase funding allocated for such programs and services. And I believe that's generally been true in Santa Cruz, except for some capital improvements, but not much significant improvement in the money going into services. As part of the City Council's 2008 Action Plan, that's the Santa Monica City Council's plan to address homelessness in Santa Monica, the Council recognized that new and exciting housing and services should be focused on priority populations, beginning with the chronically homeless. Nevertheless, the majority of Santa Monica's chronically homeless, many of whom are mentally ill or disabled, continue to find the shelters consistently filled to capacity, despite increasing police sweeps to arrest or harass the homeless for sleeping in public places. And then they eliminated pickup stations from which the homeless in Santa Monica could get transportation to cold weather shelter locations in West Los Angeles and Culver City Armories. Now they're forced either to travel to neighboring cities such as Venice for transportation to the cold weather shelters or to sleep on the streets in cold weather conditions. They've also, Santa Monica has undertaken an aggressive campaign to criminalize homelessness and apparently to drive the homeless out by selectively and discriminatorily citing and arresting homeless residents for violating city ordinances, including 4.08095, camping in public places, sitting or lying down in the entrance to a building in a downtown main street area between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. if the entrance is posted with a sign. It's hard to imagine anything crueler than to deny people the right to try to shelter themselves in the entrance of a closed building at night when it isn't bothering anybody. It's just kind of disgusting. Santa Cruz has that law 24 hours a day for any sitting or lying down on Pacific Avenue or any business district is banned next to buildings completely. So you can't, any kind of shelter there will either put you in violation of the trespass laws if you're on private property or on these downtown ordinances in Santa Cruz if you're on public property. Or if you try to go into a parking lot, you run afoul of Mayor Coonerty, Bookshop Santa Cruz, Mayor Coonerty's parking lot panic law, which makes it illegal to go into a parking lot or garage unless you are picking up a vehicle or parking it or walking directly through. Indeed, according to the lawsuit about Santa Monica again, at a public meeting at a local church, Santa Monica PD officer in the homeless liaison unit stated in response to a question about increased arrests that Santa Monica police officers were directed to make arrests for crimes of presence. That's just being there, in other words. During the past year, the SMPD has aggressively sought out sleeping homeless residents, often conducting sweeps in the early morning, typically between 2 and 5 a.m., arrested and cited them for camping or sleeping in public. These residents do not have access to shelter or housing of any kind because of the shortage of available shelter, and they are left with no alternative but to sleep in doorways, parks, and other public places. They wake homeless people abruptly, at times by using their shoes or batons, by shining flashlights or headlights in their eyes. Homeless residents complain that the SMPD frequently cites or arrests them for camping on the street outside the shelter where the homeless sleep after being turned away because the beds are not available or while waiting for beds to become available. In the course of making an arrest or issuing a citation, the cops typically tell residents in Santa Monica they must get out of Santa Monica or move on or move along to Venice, Malibu, or Skid Row. I'm kind of repeating some of this earlier stuff. When the police make arrests, homeless residents are generally handcuffed, transported to jail, where they're booked, must remain until they appear in court. During this process, homeless residents frequently lose all or most of their possessions, including prescription medications, any clothing they possess that they are not wearing at the time, critically important documents necessary for identification and government benefits, and precious personal keepsakes. In Santa Cruz, what you have is often homeless people are released prior to court, usually at 2 or 3 in the morning, on these citations, not always. I don't have the figures for what percentages are. And possessions can be reclaimed frequently, but in a very limited schedule. I think there's a total of 1 hour a day, half an hour in the lunch hour, and half an hour at the end of the day at the police station, which is at the opposite end of town from the jail. So it's a real ordeal if the police arrest you for these petty crimes. And here's some of the individual stories. I'm going to skip to the ones that we haven't really talked about. Plaintiff Alejandro Solana has been arrested and taken to jail 3 times by the SMPD for sleeping in public. Each time, officers took possession of her property, including on 2 occasions her antipsychotic medication. And each time, she asked that her medications be separated from her belongings so that she could continue to take them on a regular basis. I don't know if I'd agree with that one, but certainly it's her right to do that. Twice, officers did not respect this request. As a result of the sudden failure to take her antipsychotic medication, Ms. Solana suffered shaking, dizziness, and other symptoms. Stopping antipsychotic medication is never recommended without a doctor's approval and supervision. On these 2 occasions, Solana had to be taken to the emergency room. Given her experiences, she takes steps to avoid the SMPD. She understands that the police conduct sweeps of sleeping homeless residents in the early morning hours, so she gets up and walks around Santa Monica between 1 and 5 a.m. to avoid being harassed or arrested. In other words, it's kind of the insomnia solution. And the Santa Cruz, it's the same thing. Judge Tom Kelly said when he was presented with the many tickets that some activists got during the 1996 homeless protest in front of City Hall, Attorney Kate Wells argued, this is an unconstitutional law. People cannot sleep. And Judge Kelly looked through and said, well, they can sleep during the day, can't they? And so some people in Santa Cruz do the same thing as Miss Solana, apparently. I've actually heard they, I don't know, I found myself in kind of incredulous. You know, I don't really believe, is that what you do? You walk around late at night because you're afraid that you'll be arrested for going to sleep? Apparently, though, I've talked to at least two or three people in the last month or two that have said they do this. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I can't tell you. Plaintiff Jade Gilbert recently lost her place to sleep behind a store and occasional work in the store after she believes the police began telling store owners to sign forms agreeing to press charges against people found sleeping on their property. And a similar kind of process, this seems to be happening in Santa Cruz. Police are kind of giving workshops, or they were a year ago, to merchants on how to make citizens' arrests of homeless people who are engaging in essentially innocent behavior, but behavior that annoys the merchants, such as sitting down in front of their shop, let's say. Or displaying some items for sale on the sidewalk when they don't have any money. Or having a panhandling sign and having somebody sit with them. These are things in Santa Cruz that have resulted in citations, and that police have worked with the merchant community to facilitate this kind of harassment of poor people. Ms. Gilbert reports seeing police going store to store with their forms and reports that some local business owners have told her that the police did not give them a choice as to whether to sign the form. In April and May of 2009, Ms. Gilbert had received the permission of a store owner to sleep behind his store and had occasionally received food and work from the store owner, but this relationship ended when the police ordered him to sign a form. Ms. Gilbert also reports of being awakened by a police officer who told her there is no sleeping in Santa Monica. Now, in Santa Cruz, I don't know that there has been this kind of coercion of store owners by the police, but it is true that the police provided the major substantive backing for the injunction against the two homeless musicians, for which we're doing protests every Saturday at 1 o'clock in front of Bunny Shoes or nearby. We're not quite sure exactly where the location is going to be this week, but if you want to show up down there at 1 o'clock on Saturday, day after tomorrow, you can certainly find out. You can also get more information by calling HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 423-HUFF. So I don't know, I don't want to say without evidence that the police are the motivating factor here, but certainly some police officers are very eager beavers, or have been in the past. I'm thinking mostly right now of several retired officers, Lieutenant Habey, who has been reportedly by a number of people banging on people's vans, although he's no longer really employed by the police, and telling them they can't sleep there at night, it's against the law, taking initiative to harass homeless people whose only housing is their vehicle, or Officer Jim Howes, who kind of became the pinup boy of the police department, and city council named an award in his honor. He went door to door soliciting to turn Almer Avenue in 1999 into a no parking zone for homeless people, trying to mobilize citizens to do this. And I think that a lot of the activities when the police are throwing the downtown neighbors and the Santa Cruz neighbors are throwing their shindigs at the police department, which are open to the public in the community rooms, but not very well publicized. It's a kind of a police department mobilization of the community in a sort of a right-wing way, sort of a vigilante way to make this town inhospitable to poor and homeless people under the guise of dealing with bad behavior, where bad behavior means people feeling uncomfortable or intimidated by groups of youth, groups of homeless people downtown. The bad incident that occasionally occurs down there, people engaging in, smoking too near a building and that sort of thing. And it's gotten much worse in the last couple of years, and not the behavior, but the crackdown. Plaintiffs Lisa and Thomas Martin, again, the Santa Monica sleeping ban lawsuit says, sleep in a bunker hole in the ground in order to avoid the constant sweeps, ticketing, and harassment by the Santa Monica PD, despite the rats, raccoons, and skunks that frequently crawl around the hole they sleep. According to Ms. Martin, Mr. Martin, we have no choice because this is the only place we can sleep. It is hidden and will save us from being found, harassed, or ticketed by the police. Thomas, Mr. Thomas reports seeing police officers kick and beat homeless people for sleeping on the streets in addition to ticketing them. They also report that officers frequently tell them to move on to Los Angeles or Malibu, that officers sarcastically told them on one occasion that they were handing out tickets and they should move on if they didn't want to, quote, stay for the drawing. They previously supported themselves by picking up cans and recycling them, report being able to earn $60 to $70 a day by canning. They both receive tickets for canning, and the Santa Cruz Police Department does the same. However, the Martins stopped canning out of fear of additional citations or arrest, and as a result, they resort to flying a sign by the highway. Far from being exceptional, these experiences are illustrative of the experiences of everybody in the homeless class. In the past few months, for example, police issued multiple citations in one day to a chronically homeless resident for sitting in different public spaces, such as the park and the beach. Another homeless resident reports receiving approximately 20 citations by police officers in approximately 8 months, including one for loitering when he was sitting in a local coffee bean and tea leaf, writing in a notebook. That's apparently a local coffee shop. Police officers in Santa Monica issued the same resident a citation for smoking in the park and told him, and of course it's illegal to smoke in our parks now, you are either an alcoholic or bipolar and your life is going to amount to nothing. And there's still more of this lawsuit, which the main point here is people are being denied the right to do what they have to do at night. Not anywhere and everywhere, but somewhere. And that, of course, is the pledge we're giving merchants up and down the street, asking them to post it in their windows, which it's relatively innocuous. Very few merchants have done so. A few have. And you can learn more about this by coming down to the protest at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Again, try in front of Bunny Shoes at 1350 Pacific. That's our normal spot. There's a chance it may be moved, and also it's also weather contingent. There's some other considerations, too, that we're still working on. We're a little uncertain about the specifics of this protest, but it's something we've done for the last 6 weeks and are likely to do again this Saturday. Again, it's a protest to stop the criminalization of poor people in Santa Cruz. I'm going to pause for a musical break, do some interviews, invite your phone calls, 469-3119, 469-3119 is the call-in number, and I'll be back.
Down in the cotton row, picking in the sun, wishing to the Lord that the day was done. Sack getting heavy, a sun getting hot, I'm a-wishing for a little of what the boss has got. A dipper of water, fresh from the well, a patch of shade to sit for a spell. Down in the cotton row, bending low, I think I'm a-going where cotton don't grow. Get away from here, get away. Long, long days, and a-fighting the gnats from out of my face. The boss, he says, when the crop's all in, he don't owe us nothing, but we owe to him. When we pays him off at 40%, our share of the cotton done came and went. We's a-living in slavery, but a-thinking free. Gonna find a better place to be. Get away from here, get away, get away. Down in the cotton row, a snapping bowls, nothing to show but shoes full of holes. Bowl is getting thin, every day there's less. I can't even even earn me a cotton dress. See them little kids moving down that road. Mean old chilly wind is starting to blow. Rags is a flapping like an old scarecrow. Winter is a coming and we just gotta go. Get away from here. Get away. Get away.
And that was part of Sundown, Sis Cunningham's song. As you can imagine, about some of her experiences in the Mississippi Delta back in the 30s, performed by the Red Dust Players. Well,
I've also got a couple of articles I think I'm going to turn to before we go back to the interviews. There's a downtown commission meeting coming up in a week. The downtown commission meets regularly at 8:30 in the morning. This is a group of men and women appointed by the city council whose job supposedly is to provide some kind of public vetting process for legislation and problems of the downtown before they get to the city council. But the last time the city council took up a whole significant series of ordinances, the downtown ordinances that increased the forbidden zones downtown, made it illegal to sit on a bench for an hour, made three infractions a misdemeanor if they weren't attended to. The downtown commission, first of all, didn't get these ordinances as they had got previous ordinances, and they also didn't complain about not getting the ordinances. So you have a sort of a very compliant, it's kind of a sinister, it runs sort of a kind of a chill of, it's, yeah, makes me really uncomfortable to reflect on this. It's kind of like the, I got an email today from Tenderfoot Tim Rumford, who is an activist who had his own website for a number of years, Humanity for Homeless, blogspot.com. It's since been taken down because he's been so ill, he hasn't been able to keep it up. He used to come down and give out food down on Pacific Avenue, and he's still in there pitching as far as his own struggle goes, but he just hasn't got the energy to hit the streets. He also isn't living close enough into town to do that. But he pointed out to me today, and I think it's true, that the whole Obama administration in a way is much more sinister than that of the Bush administration because people are not holding the Obama administration to account at all. He is getting away with essentially the same level of violence in Iraq as before, and an increasing level of violence in Iran and Pakistan. And, of course, military buildup as usual. Some token efforts around the Israeli-Palestinian stuff. But he gets away with, and on the homelessness issue, similarly, there's no legislation on the home front or on the horizon that would look to be the kind of stuff that was appearing a few years ago by some members of Congress that would have made cities' anti-homeless laws to be the basis for cutting federal grants would be a real way of stopping the cities from these sleeping bans because they would be losing their bucks. And that isn't happening. Downtown Commission meets at 8:30 in the morning every third or fourth Thursday, but it's going to be Thursday, July 23rd. And the council members, or say the commission members, are a pretty grim group. Mandel, Shattuck, Coonerty, Hoffman, Smith, Slack, and Nickel. You probably don't know many of them. I don't know many of them either. I know Julie Shattuck, Jerry Mandel, Sheila Coonerty, and June Hoffman, because I used to go to these meetings in the days when there actually was some discussion of stuff before it was rubber-stamped and sent to the city council. The parking lot panic law, for example, did get some critical analysis before it was shoved on to the city council. And you get to see the police department's evasion and stonewalling up close. And it was kind of, you know, very educational to see it. They didn't provide the figures they were asked for because they knew that there are girls and boys on the city council that were their members there, in essence, their supporters there, were going to pass it anyway, and they weren't required to give the public the information they needed to make real choices about whether a massive anti-loitering law in the parking lots and garages, removing 10 square blocks of city space from the public use was a good way to go and a necessary thing based on the crime figures, and we didn't even get a significant follow-up on that. Anyway, the upcoming Downtown Commission is going to have a downtown enforcement presentation by the police department. For those who are interested, I may go to that thing and maybe try to record it. I've asked for the tape from the Downtown Commission or the audio, and their audio has gotten so bad that it's almost unplayable on the air. In fact, it really is. You can, if you listen to it closely, you can hear it yourself and decipher it, but you try to play it on the radio, there's a squeal. This has been the case for the last two Downtown Commission meetings that I've gotten audios for, and I get this kind of grumpy response from Laura, who's the Downtown Commission staff person. She's nice otherwise, and she tries to be somewhat helpful, although it's really a mixed bag with Laura. It's hard to say what's happening there. But in any case, there is this, you know, they got bad equipment, so if you want to hear what's going on, you got to go there, and that's going to be happening at 8:30 a week from today. They're also going to be electing their people, discussing their goals and objectives, sensible transportation survey, and they'll have informational reports on crime stats for March, April, and May, as well as the downtown host reports. Those are the bumblebee hosts that we now see downtown in yellow and black, and that'll all be coming up a week from today. Palo Alto, I got a heads up from a Palo Alto informant about a guy who perennially runs for city council and who has often been homeless. And I want to read a short article by Will Oramus from the Mercury News. Palo Alto police warned local panhandler Victor Frost on Wednesday that he's not exempt from the city's sit-lie ordinance just because he's running for city council. They didn't arrest him, but authorities said that one of the options they will consider if Frost refuses to move his mobile campaign headquarters from the sidewalk across from Whole Foods on Emerson Street. That's nothing something anybody wants to do, Assistant City Attorney Donald Larkin said, but it's always a possibility. It's a different stance than the city took during Frost's last run for city council in 2007. At that time, the city council had just expanded a 1997 ordinance against sitting or lying down on University Avenue sidewalks to include all of downtown. The new rules were prompted in large part by complaints about Frost, who had become a fixture on the sidewalk across from Whole Foods. But to avoid the appearance of discriminating against a council candidate, the city decided not to enforce the ordinance until after the campaign. When Frost continued to panhandle, even after placing last in the 12-person race, city officials cited him several times. While battling the citations in Santa Clara County Superior Court, he took to panhandling on California Avenue, where the ordinance doesn't apply. This week, however, he pulled papers for another city council run and returned to his familiar spot outside Whole Foods. On Wednesday, he put a campaign sign up and began soliciting signatures for his position to qualify as a candidate. "It's no longer begging for food," he said. "Now it's under the Federal Campaign Act." Frost said he has a First Amendment right to campaign on the public domain. But Larkin said he knows of no federal laws that would override the sit-lie ordinance. "Now that it has been in effect for 2 years," he added, "it should be clear that it wasn't enacted in order to influence a council race. Whatever regulation we create has to be content neutral," Larkin said. "It's either all or none. It wouldn't be legal to say you can sit on the sidewalk as long as you're running for city council." Of course, what Larkin isn't saying is, and it's apparently the Mercury News writer believes, is that this law was created specifically to deal with Victor Frost, one person. So it isn't content neutral at all. It's specifically directed at a particular person, so it's not only not content neutral, but it's what we call a bill of attainder. A bill of attainder is a sort of a technical legal term in which the legislature unconstitutionally passes a law to criminalize a particular person. And legislatures aren't supposed to do that. They are supposed to pass laws that impact everybody. And so, of course, what they're doing now is they are penalizing everybody, but the motivation is to get rid of one person, according to the Mercury News. And again, I haven't researched the situation. I haven't talked to Victor Frost. I've invited him in the past to call in. I haven't yet heard from him. Perhaps we will, because I got an email today from an activist in Palo Alto who said he was going to try to interview Frost. Maybe he can get those audio files to me. Larkin, the city assistant city attorney, added, if Frost wants to stand on the sidewalk and hold his signs, that's not violating the ordinance. And of course, that'll be much harder to do. I think Frost is an older man. It's obviously an attempt to dissuade and dishearten and discourage Frost from doing what he's doing. I remember listening to the pretext being used for this law way back in 1997. I actually went to the Palo Alto City Council with activist Becky Johnson, and we wrote a story on it, which you could find by going onto the Huff website, huffsantacruz.org, and looking up old street spirit articles, which are archived there, and you can read about the really torturous reasoning used by the city attorney and the police to try to pass this law, claiming that people were a trip and fall hazard, although they had no instances where this had ever happened. That was the reason that they were banning sitting down on the sidewalk. Santa Cruz didn't, of course, even bother to try to use any kind of a discreet cover. They just went right after everybody, initially within 6 feet. Actually, initially their sitting ban was against everybody on the sidewalk, period. That got thrown out by a combination of direct action and court decision in 1994. So they amended it under Mayor Kennedy and Rotkin to say within 6 feet of a building you can't sit. That was expanded to 14 feet of a building in 2002 and has been expanded further to include other forbidden areas so that there is very little sitting space, as I said, on Pacific Avenue, and zero sitting space on sidewalks anywhere else in town near buildings or near crosswalks, for that matter, or near signs, directories, telephones, benches, you name it. Everything has been made a content-neutral basis for criminalizing a particular class of people. Continuing this story about Palo Alto, city authorities haven't decided exactly how they'll deal with Frost this time around. Larkin said they would give him more citations, but he hasn't obeyed these in the past. Another option would be to pursue an administrative or civil injunction. Arresting Frost would be the last resort, he said, but it's certainly a possibility since nothing else seems to work. Of course, the real question is, what is the fucking problem? One guy, a homeless person, wants to run a campaign on the street. Is he harassing anybody? Is he blocking traffic from proceeding? Is he defecating or urinating? If not, let the man be. But apparently that's not something that has penetrated either the minds of this city attorney up in Palo Alto or our own city attorney, John Barisoni, here in Santa Cruz, with his attacks on Anna Richardson and Miguel de Leon, the homeless musicians here. Street interview time. Let's get some street interviews. Again, call-in number, I'm hoping that is working. You can try calling in and find out. 469-3119 is the number, 469-3119.
Downtown here on July 11th, 2009, on a overcast, muggy, and sometime rainy Saturday, the sixth Saturday of the protest at Bunny's Shoes. Here we have a person who's just signed a pledge. She hasn't got a place for the night, but she may get one for free radio. What's your name?
My name's Kathleen Hicks.
And Kathleen, how long have you been outside?
Been outside for a while. They also call me Sunshine.
Okay, and how's the outside treating you? How are the police treating you?
All right, so far.
What do you think of this campaign to encourage merchants to put a pledge in their window?
Stop the police brutality, okay? We really do.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's kind of hard because the police keeps moving you and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's really hard when you're homeless and you got to move and stuff, and it's just not right for my rainbows or me either.
So when was the last time you had contact with the police?
While. It's been about 4 months.
So they perhaps left you alone, or are you just good at hiding? What's the deal?
Good at hiding so far, a little bit, yeah. I'm avoiding getting in trouble.
That's good. That's good. What do you think of this pledge idea that we have? About asking stores to put this in their windows so that people will go to those shops that say end the sleeping ban and avoid those shops that want to keep the sleeping ban.
Well, I feel that you guys should help. Yeah, that's what we need.
Okay.
But we don't need a stalker following us.
For sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, again, we've been talking with...
Kathleen Hicks.
Thanks, Kathleen. Talking with
My first name is Jose, but I go by Dave, and the last name is Lujan.
And Dave, we just saw Supervisor Coonerty, who's the owner of the bookshop Santa Cruz, pass by, and you were surprised to hear that.
Yes, I was, because I believe in supporting local businesses, but I have been in there several times and been looked at strangely by the staff there and even some of the other patrons there, and I just have not felt comfortable going in there. I've tried to go in there other times, trying to give it another shot, but I don't like the way they treat people. I was in there with my mother one time, and she was looking towards the end of, I suppose, the index of a book to see if there was something that she wanted to look at in there, and she was saying to me, "This is a nice book," and one of the employees walked by, one of the female employees, and she said, "And look, you're almost done reading it, too," you know, insinuating that we're in there to read the book, basically steal it, and then not buy it. And I just thought that was extremely rude, and my mother and I do not go there anymore, and I boycott them.
How long ago did this happen?
This happened about, I'd say about a month ago.
Had you been patronizing the store before then? Thank you, and if you want to comment, we can take your comment, too, if you want.
Every now and then I'd go in there, and maybe I'd get a magazine or something, but I really didn't feel comfortable spending my money there. I kept telling myself, I'm doing it for the community, I'm not doing it for them, but I'm sorry, I just go either to Logo or the library or even Borders. I don't mind that they're a big corporation, but they treat me with respect, and they treat the homeless with respect, and as long as they don't give anybody any problems, they're welcome to come upstairs and sit down and sit.
Interesting to hear. Sorry to hear it. I've been banned from Bookshop Santa Cruz since 1994.
So. Wow. Was that 15 years now? For what would that be?
Because we did a protest in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz similar to this. And then two days later, someone threw a rock through Neil's window, and he blamed us as the protesters. We were pointing out stores that he'd backed a whole bunch of anti-homeless laws, and there was a lot of hostility about that. We didn't encourage, of course, that kind of thing, because that's really counterproductive. You know, it results in people, you know, dismissing this as a, you know, crazy, wild and violent movement, which it isn't. It's an attempt to change the laws, and Neil, rather than consider changes to the laws, and his son, Ryan, who's now on the city council and was mayor last year.
Coonerty, right?
Coonerty is the last name, yeah. He, too, has that position. And it's strange because he's a constitutional lawyer, but I'm not sure which constitution he's looking at. Maybe it's the Chinese constitution or the Iranian constitution or the Saudi Arabian constitution, which he's referring to. It's not too clear what his constitutional references are. Anyway, we've been talking with...
Jose David Lujan.
And Jose, anything you want to add?
There was something... My train almost left. I will support anything that helps out the homeless and injustice. I mean, where are they supposed to? I've been homeless before myself. I lived in Long Beach, and I've been homeless, and I used to sleep right next to the marina all the time. And I have to wake up at a certain hour because I know that the police would patrol just around 5:30. So I have to get up at quarter to five every day just to get out of there.
How long were you homeless?
About a month. I lost my job, and I couldn't find a place to live. So, yeah.
So you're doing better now.
I'm doing much better now. I'm living at home with my mom. I have something similar to epilepsy. I'm on disability. Seizure disorder, and my mother had a heart attack March 22nd. House was foreclosed. Car was repossessed. So the only way we can make it is by pooling our resources.
Well, feel free to volunteer what time you have left here at the table. We need people today. We have a rather small turnout, but I do appreciate your story. It's really hard to appreciate your situation because it sounds pretty dire, but you seem to be conscious, awake, and articulate, so.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
I don't mind giving you personally my name, but if you say anything, can you put me down as anonymous?
Sure, although this is for radio broadcast.
For radio broadcast? Oh, okay, all right, so.
I don't think people are going to...
Okay.
I don't know, but I don't think so.
Suppose that's fine.
I haven't heard of people being retaliated against because of these broadcasts, but it's always possible.
You know, I fear, exactly.
Understandably. Yeah. Well, thank you, David.
At the same time, I'm not going to just sit down and take it.
That's really important, I think, and thank you, Jose.
Thank you very much for giving me the time.
All right, man. A quick interview for free radio.
Anonymous.
Anonymous?
Hey, guys. My
Well, I'll translate for you. You don't have to say anything. What you've said is that we've got just had a pledger from Berkeley who goes to school in Oakland who doesn't seek out the police a lot. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, that's definitely a fair thing to say.
You're not in the best health, so you're not interested in long speeches, but I guess this issue concerns you.
Yeah, it definitely does. I have a few friends that got involved in Cop Watch after some of the police shootings this year. So
Oscar Grant's killer.
Mm, yeah.
And the other one four months later. And I see the pledge you signed, of course, is about the homeless right to sleep somewhere, not anywhere, but somewhere in Santa Cruz. Do you have any sense of what's happening in Berkeley around that?
Not too much. I know that they really try and have the resources available for people to have a place to sleep that's indoors, but I know that it's almost nearly impossible to be able to house everyone right now. So I don't know what the laws are in Berkeley around that.
We'll be expecting a report when your health improves.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
We've been talking with?
Hillary.
Thanks, Hillary.
Governor's work, guess what? Governor's work for
the... We're interviewing a critic who's come to the table. What's your name, sir?
My name is No Name.
And No Name, go ahead, give me your critique.
My situation is that you are working for the city.
If you want to pay me, I might work for the city, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That I should?
No, because it's the right thing to do, and you're not doing it.
I agree.
You shouldn't.
And what we have here actually is a bit of a conversation which grew kind of heated with Maria of the Hat Company. She's the owner of the store in front of which this table was, which we placed our table with literature and signs about bunnies. She shares an entrance with bunnies. We would have our table in front of bunnies, but it's illegal to put a table there because of new laws passed by the city council at the urging of the Downtown Association that say you can't have a table within 10 feet of a bench, and they put two benches in front of bunnies, or there actually were two benches in front of bunnies before. So Maria the Hat Company, as I think I've discussed this issue before, has been concerned because she's pointed out her business has really fallen off. The boycott of bunnies has impacted her. And she, on the other hand, does not want to put a pledge in the window that says she supports, she doesn't discriminate against the homeless, supports the right of the homeless to sleep not anywhere and everywhere, but somewhere. Or let's put it this way. She says she hasn't decided yet. And we keep waiting for her to come to a decision. We gave her literature 2.5 weeks ago. She actually didn't get back to us at all. So we put the table back in the place where it naturally should go, which is the closest possible place to Bunny's entrance. Bunny is one of four downtown businesses that have signed declarations against the two homeless musicians, which have been used by the city attorney to get this very severe go-to-jail-for-one-instance-of-sleeping injunction from the judicial system. And we're trying to alert those people who are spending money in Santa Cruz that spending money at businesses that supported this whole thing is a way of sending a message. I guess if you want to support this kind of anti-homeless stuff, then you should spend money at Bunny's. And indeed, there are some people who posted on Santa Cruz Indie Media, which is where I've written a lot of stuff about this, and where there are numerous flyers and some reports and some video even. You can go to Santa Cruz Indie Media, which is IndieBay, IndyBay, IndieBay.org/Santa Cruz. And you can find a number of stories about this protest on the right side of the screen, the extreme right side of the screen, and you'll find some discussion of this issue. What you're going to hear now is I expressed some pretty strong feeling because Maria had come out and she'd showed me the new flyer that we were giving out, in which we say that the Hat Company is one of the people that has refused to put this pledge in the window. And she insisted this wasn't true. She was still thinking about it. And, you know, I you can hear the skepticism in my voice now. She may well be thinking about it. I'm not saying that isn't true. It's really hard to think that it takes there's such a great amount of thinking that needs to be done about two sentences that actually, to me, you either support it or you don't. or, you know, you don't care one way or the other. I don't know. But anyway, we've struck her off the list of people who have said no because she said she hasn't said no. But in a way, her behavior, which is not putting this pledge in the window, is no. So this is the conversation that ensued. And actually, it sounds pretty heated. It was pretty heated. But later on, we actually had some more relaxed conversation afterward. And she spoke with other members of the group. And sometimes you got to clear the air with some strong feelings.
Give a damn about what I say or what where I am. You should do it because it's right, and you're not doing it, are you? Are you?
Sorry.
You're not doing it.
Take me?
You bet. It's for free radio.
Fuck off, you crazy bastard.
Crazy? Just informing the community your position, Maria. That's it. Hey, your position is clear.
Cool.
That was Maria of the Hat Company giving her opinion that she may favor the sign, but she is antagonized by the fact that we're here, so she won't do it. Well, you heard the discussion. Boycott bigotry at Bunny's Shoes. You spend money there, you support bigotry downtown. No, apparently not.
Never heard of that.
If you voted for Obama, don't buy shoes from Bunnies, because this is a bigoted store. If you want to know why, come over here and find out. Anti-homeless laws. Bunny Shoes supports anti-homeless laws downtown. If that's what you want, spend your money in Bunny Shoes, please.
So are you a Vietnam veteran? Iraqi
veteran of the house, like four. Iraq veteran, 14 veterans.
That gentleman is going to come back after we're done and we're going to go somewhere and talk. He has a concrete struggle to organize the land, to organize a struggle against the landlords that own this property.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
I would love to hear about a plan, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I would hear about it. There you have it. Bernard seeking out new ways of...
No, it's him, Robert. I mean, I want to get him while it's still young and hot.
Here. So we have a kind of an overcast day here. And it was... Occasionally it's raining, occasionally it's sunny. It's kind of hard to tell what's happening here. So again, we have posted in the window very briefly, according to Robert Norris, my business won't be targeted. This is in the Hat Company window. If I put this sign in my window, and then there's the pledge, this business does not discriminate. We support human rights for the homeless community, including the right to shop at night, not anywhere and everywhere, but somewhere. Apparently, it is not enough to support homeless causes with my money and my time. It is my opinion that causes that I support or not are no one else's business but my own and shouldn't be used in an attempt to extort my business. This is the same sign that Bunny put up last week. What the fuck is this?
And actually, it wasn't put up by Bunny at all. It was put up by Maria, the Hat Company, in her window as a way of essentially, again, protesting the fact that we were in front of her store and saying that we have no real reason to move away from here because this is the best location to deal with bunnies unless, you know, you come out with some real motivation for us to go away, which would be a supportive pledge. That would be a supportive reason to do it, because then we would definitely want to clarify. And maybe we'd even stay, but we'd urge people to support the Hat Company. But in any case, we'd be more likely to listen to your concerns, even though they interfere with the normal process of protesting and encouraging people to protest the behavior of Bunny's Shoes as one of the businesses downtown that supports this crackdown, or at least has taken elaborate steps, made really clear on a number of occasions that they don't really oppose it in terms of taking any concrete action like a pledge.
Well, it's not that. It's... Sorry. Again, we're talking with...
Stephen Weichel.
And Stephen, you're on the streets. You're a homeless guy who's on the streets at the moment, and you feel this is an important issue, the sleeping question, but there's also an issue of this being a tourist town.
Correct.
What? How long have you been outside?
This time about a month.
And how are the police treating you?
I absolutely love the police in Santa Cruz.
So you haven't had any problems?
Not at all.
Have they come upon you sleeping?
No, I managed to stay hidden.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, me too.
That might be a big reason. Anyway, anything else, Steve, you want to say?
I don't go to sleep until 10 o'clock at night. When the sun goes down, I know none of the neighbors will see me crawling behind the bush, and I have to leave at 5 o'clock in the morning before they get up to go to work. And I wish there was someplace where we could go. You know, this is a temporary thing for me, but it's a big thing in my life.
How about showers?
Thank you, Steve.
Showers are far and few between.
So you smell pretty good to me, although I haven't kissed you lately.
Well, you ain't going to either.
I don't intend to. For heaven's sake. Anyway, thank you, Steve.
Thank you. You bet.
Actually, so he doesn't want to be directly quoted. Homelessness is not, you know, the life of Riley. It's actually kind of a full-time job, right?
Bureaucratic runaround.
It requires you got to get to appointments every day, things of that sort, right?
Survive. Line up your food, and you can't do the things that you enjoy doing because your life takes up your life.
Yeah, that's. How it is. You got to have a place to stay, or you at least got to know what to do if you're outside.
But it's gone. You know,
not going to go very far in the
No, it doesn't. And I get food stamps. Food's not a problem. Sleeping is a problem. Finding
showers,
a place
right?
to sleep is a problem.
Sleeping in showers, right?
You can bathe yourself enough to where you don't need a shower. I'm wearing clean clothes today. I managed that. You know, 3 days I'll still be wearing the same clothes.
That's you're doing good. Though. I mean, I'm looking at homeless in a few
maybe
weeks.
That's another reason I stay away from people. Or they stay away from me.
I haven't noticed anything.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're kind of like a gorilla homeless, right?
No, I'm good.
I don't smell nothing.
It doesn't smell. It seems like a gorilla homeless. No one can tell
you.
You
look pretty grounded to me.
Thank you. You know, I do try to be.
Yeah.
I do try to be. Somebody asked me once what I wanted out of life, and I said, I want to be happy. And that's all I want.
You wild, impetuous fool, you.
See, actually, she told me I could not be happy with hatred in my heart. So I did away with the hatred in my heart. And life is what it is. And I'll deal with it.
I heard that one. That's...
You guys have a meeting, right, on Wednesdays?
Every Wednesday at 9:30 at Sub Rosa Cafe, which is...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Come on down. Free coffee.
I get on there. At Wednesday, huh?
Wednesday at 9:30 in the morning. Yeah.
Cool. I'll come.
All right. We'll be waiting for you.
Cool. I forgot your name.
All right. Come on. We're talking to some passers-by. Your name? What's your name?
Vicky.
And Vicky, where are you from?
Santa Cruz.
And how long you been here?
30 years.
So you got a sense of how things have been 30 years ago and how they are now.
I think so.
In fact, you were here when there were beautiful red brick planters up and down the mall.
I guess, yeah. I remember the man, they have the statue with the saw. I remember him actually playing the saw.
Tom Scribner.
Mm-hmm.
So you just asked me if I remembered when I was growing up, that were there people panhandling, and frankly, I can't really remember, and I was probably in the wrong places. But I suppose probably throughout the 30 years you've been here in Santa Cruz, there have been panhandlers here. I think that's true because of my research and reading, and also I used to come through Santa Cruz, and I saw that. But I have no specific memory of that particularly. But what's your recollection?
I think there probably was more runaway kids just hanging out.
Well, I know that, for example, in 1978, were you here in 78?
Uh-huh.
The Scotts Creek Bluff homeless arrests happened, where the police drove homeless people in their vehicles out of the city. They finally went up the coast to Davenport, right north of Davenport, called Scotts Creek Bluff. And then they were arrested by the sheriffs. In response, they occupied the bottom of the county building as a protest. And then they had the largest and longest misdemeanor trial in Santa Cruz history in 1978. It was, I mean, they weren't wild in any way except the police, you know. They were just...
The Wild West when the cowboys ran the people out of town?
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's, in a way, what the businesses are trying to do to homeless people now. You know, you have your occasional street performer here, but they're trying to make it very, very restrictive so that there's no place for homeless people to sit, very even less place for them to panhandle. And even if they're being peaceful and orderly, that doesn't matter. They don't. These businesses think that the homeless people are the problem for their business.
Well, there's the bigger problem. Like, people still need to be cared for. They still need to have a place to go to the bathroom and take a shower.
For sure.
You know, I'm concerned more. I mean, it's not just the rights to be here, a place to sleep, but to be healthy.
For sure.
People to
sure.
to have their basic rights.
Right. But you don't arrest them because those facilities aren't around. You put in those facilities, or you arrest them if they violate public sanitation laws. You know, like if you catch them crapping on the ground, or you might even have a law that says if you're in an area, a 10-foot square around your campground, and there's anything there that's either litter or trash or feces or urine, that could be a basis for a citation. That could be, you know, but they don't want that kind of law because that would mean that it legalizes homeless people in some way, and that is something that there's a lot of bigotry about.
Yeah. But this,
and I expect you to change this. This is your job. You've got to go in there and get them.
Well, like I say, I just think that they need to, people need to be safe. People need to be able to have their basic rights, no matter who. But the environment needs to not be trashed either.
For sure. And your point is well taken.
My personal,
we'll come upon many campsites.
If I have objections, if I'm going for a walk and I look down and I see where someone is camped out and they have gone and they've left a lot of trash.
They may have left a fucking mess.
Yeah. So you can see that's
criminal behavior as far as I'm concerned, but sleeping itself should not be criminal. Your associate has somewhere. What's your name?
Jessica, my name is Gretchen.
Gretchen, you're sitting on a bicycle rack. This could be construed as criminal behavior. How long have you been a criminal?
Well, probably my whole life because I don't really keep up with the laws. But my question is, what about the homeless going to the woods or the beach? I mean, what's with the city and the sidewalks and why do they want
to be? It's illegal to go to the beach.
They won't be caught at the beach or the...
They do.
It's a 24-hour beach. And what about the woods?
It's illegal to... Woods are... Poganip is closed at dusk.
I don't slightly know a few homeless people. I have hung out with a lot of homeless people because I haven't worked for a couple of years, and that's who you kind of hang out with. But they, you know what I mean? They, underneath those little... They find a way somehow to sleep.
And I can give you masses of people who were ticketed under the wharf or ticketed on the beach. So, well,
they get tickets no matter what.
Well,
then.
Some do and some don't. But still, you know, it's a risk. I mean, you know, it's if there were a sanctuary there, as, for example, in Laguna Beach, there is. Laguna Beach tried to criminalize sleeping on the beaches. The ACLU came in with a lawsuit, and Laguna Beach pulled back. This was about 4 months ago, 5 months
That's
ago.
That's pretty impressive to hear about Laguna Beach actually taking a little bit of a stance. But, I mean, so the homeless people must be doing something. What do they do then since they have to...
They hide out or they get out. Or they get arrested and go to jail, or they just pile up bunches of tickets.
They probably sleep during the day.
That's the solution proposed, sleep during the day. So we're thinking of having a daytime sleep out up and down Pacific Avenue here to show them, you know, that this is a great solution to the homeless problem. Everybody should sleep during the day. You don't have to work. You don't have to get a job. You can just go sleep during the day. Right. Of course, you can't do anything that normal people do during the day if you do that.
It is tricky. It's a catch-22 being a homeless person, I would have to say.
We've been talking with...
Gretchen.
And
Vicky from Santa Cruz.
Welcome, Linda. If anybody wants a hug, I'm available. Where's my hug?
We're definitely into problem solving.
Are you a homeless person?
No.
Okay. We're into problem solving, aren't we?
I want a hug now. I want a hug. Officer Warren has shown up on his bike. What's up, Officer? Anything exciting?
Great.
No? Okay. Well, I'll keep... So, yeah, what she did was... Go ahead.
I don't want to interrupt you if you're in the middle of something.
That's all right.
Okay.
And what we have here is the appearance, really the first appearance of a complaint that has the police officially, a police officer officially giving us a warning that if we don't leave in an hour after he returns, he will cite us for having a political table, actually for having a display device set up for more than an hour. I'm going to discuss this after you hear some of the conversation we had. Officer Warren speaks in a very mild and gentle way, and it's not the problem isn't the way he's talking, but what in fact he's actually doing, which is trying to move us away from the protest.
Is this your table?
I set it up.
Okay, you set it up. Okay. So it's 3:02 right now.
Yes.
Fair enough. Okay. You have 1 hour to pack it up and move it. You have to move 100 feet in an hour.
Did you receive a complaint?
I did.
Who from?
You know how you can find that.
How can I find that?
You can call NetCom and find out who complained, and I'm sure you can go about the process. But here's the deal. They don't want to sign a complaint. They just want you to know that it's a problem. So I'm here advising you that you have 1 hour to move. If in an hour, we'll call it a 4:05, we'll give you an extra few minutes. If you haven't moved in 1 hour, I'll come back and I'll issue this citation.
I bet you will.
Probably. Because the person who complained doesn't want to sign a citation. So that's why I'm giving you an hour myself. They told me that you've been out here since about 1 o'clock.
Why are you wasting your time? Does somebody else need the space?
No.
Then it sounds like harassment, Officer Warren.
I do my best to follow the rules, and when I get a complaint, I follow up on it.
Well, if they want to make a complaint and fill out a complaint themselves, let them do so. They don't want to do it. You're the one who's being put out as a patsy here.
I know. What are you going to do?
Tell them to go do it themselves.
I could do that, but if they don't want to, then, you know, they have the right to remain anonymous, right? I hope they do.
So you're allowed...
And actually, they don't have the right to remain anonymous. If they wish to make a complaint, that is really going to be based on, they have to actually testify in court. So they're not anonymous, they become a witness. But they want to do that. Instead, they want the police officer to come down and act as their agent, where they can hide behind the police officer, who will then actually start a new hours-long procedure. In theory, the officer could have, if the individual who was making the complaint wanted, could come out and said, I've been here for an hour. That table has been here for an hour. Unless they move it now, I want to file a citation. Then we would have had to move at that moment or get a citation or remove the display device. And actually, the procedure is you just have somebody else who didn't set up the original display device set up a new display device, which might be a blanket, it might be a table, it might be any number of things. In essence, you simply have to transfer it to another object. In order to meet the actual literal wording of the law. Shouldn't have to do that. And in fact, some people of principle, like Steve Argue and Matthew Hartog, two activists who were arrested in 2003 for refusing to move, they said, we've got a table here, nobody needs this space, we're here on a... that we have to be in this location because we're talking about a particular store that we're in front of. We're not going to move 100 feet away, that's ridiculous. And so they were arrested, taken to jail. Charges against one were dropped. Charges against the other were dismissed. The city council quickly changed the law in order to avoid what they saw as an argument that was used against it. It's a rather technical argument that no longer exists, so I won't go into it. But here we are again confronted 6 years later with, again, this move-along citation law, which is normally used against, it's used against political activists the city doesn't like. It's used against homeless people who have a cap out or a cup. And it's used against street performers who have a guitar out because all these things are considered, quote, display devices. It's not as though you're displaying a sign. It's if you have a table or a flat surface or a circular surface on which you can place tangible things. That's the description of what a display device is in the tangled wording of the city attorney who cooked this up essentially as a device to give the police a tool to move along people. Now you're going to hear some of my commentary about the police officer who, quite legitimate, is coming down with a complaint, however stupid this law is. I suppose it's legitimate that when we tried to complain about one of our members sitting on a bench for more than an hour and demanded that he be cited, the police insisted on ignoring us, while as when a merchant, and we suspect it was a merchant, not the hat company person, and not even Bunny Shoes, but rather we think it was the manager of the Palomar property, or possibly one of the residents there who made this complaint. When one of those folks make that complaint, then the police will immediately appear, and they'll even shield the complainant and take on the job of harassment themselves. Whereas when we make a complaint in order to challenge the law, they will go to great lengths, as Officer Wilson did about a month and a half ago when Bernard Klitzner was sitting on a bench for more than an hour, and we tried to make a citizen's arrest, saying, look, here's a guy sitting on a bench. She wasn't doing anything. She had no emergencies. She just refused to take the citation. She said she was going to call her sergeant. She either lied or She is a very, very slow sergeant. Anyway, we're going to hear more from Officer Warren on the July 11th protest in front of the Bunny Shoes, where we are simply attempting to give out literature and give people an opportunity to sign a pledge petition stating that they will patronize stores that have the pledge and question stores that don't have it displayed publicly. The pledge that says, this business does not discriminate. We support the right of the homeless community to sleep, not anywhere and everywhere, but somewhere.
Anonymous harassers to hide behind the police. If they have a problem, let them step up to the plate, take it to court. That's what I say.
We should do that. All right, Carl, but Robert, I think what's fair, though, is that I'm advising you of the rule. I know you know about the rule. But all I'm doing is I'm giving you the courtesy of telling you you have 1 hour to move. You know what I'm even going to do? I'm going to give you an hour and 15 minutes so that in 1 hour, when your hour has passed, you'll have time to pack up your table, which is very neat and clean. You don't have stuff all over like you did in the past weeks, and I do appreciate that. And then you'll have 100 feet to move after that.
I should advise you that if somebody else comes and sets up a display device here, whom I know, that's perfectly legal. So I can be a part of that whole group, provided I'm not setting up a display device.
Provided it's no longer your table, yes.
Correct. So it's really sort of a waste of your time to come down here and do that, because we have tables. There are other groups that have tables here that are prepared to do exactly what I'm doing and push the same cause. And I'll
give them the same warning.
Yeah. Well, I just hate this. I hate to see the public money being spent while you could be doing more meaningful things.
I wish I could do some more meaningful things, but here I am.
You probably do more meaningful things.
I try to do more meaningful things.
Well, I'm told that aside from this interaction with someone where you threatened to punch him in the face, that other than that...
Actually, the phrase was, I'm going to break your jaw. That officer, Warren, is the officer I'm speaking to, allegedly said to a guy whose name is B.O.B. That's how he describes himself. Sometimes he calls himself Bob, sometimes it's B.O.B. And there were three other witnesses who claimed that that's exactly what Officer Warren said. Officer Warren denies that, and he has denied that in the past. And you can actually hear the witnesses describing this if you go back to the archives of this show, which are archived at www.huffsantacruz.org, under the name of the show, Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides.
You've been doing a pretty good job.
Well, thank you. I cannot comment on punching somebody in the face, because I've actually never punched somebody in the face, and I don't think I've ever threatened to punch somebody in the face. So
this was what one person and a witness said. But again, you know, I don't know, and the problem I have is I wasn't present.
Very true.
But you are denying that you made a threat to such a person.
Yes, I am.
Well, I think it's fair to get your account of this, and if I can give you more specifics in the future, I will. Maybe we can maybe even explain how that account happened to come about, whether it was a fabrication or misunderstanding.
Fair enough.
Any other reports from the street, Officer Warren, yourself?
No. What I'm going to do is I'm going to fill out a field identification card, just kind of a time stamp on the time that we talked. Just kind of make it all official.
You can do anything you want, but I have nothing more to say to you at this time.
That's fine. Do you have your ID with you?
I do, but there's no responsibility to show it to you, as you know.
Oh, I don't know that. I have no knowledge of your ID, where it is, what's going on
with
it.
No, you're requesting an ID is fine. You're demanding it would be completely inappropriate, correct?
Correct what?
It would be inappropriate to demand my ID unless you're making an arrest.
That is true.
So therefore, you're not making an arrest. There's no need to show ID, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
See, notice how nice as pie Officer Warren is. And, you know, if it were some other circumstance, if he weren't engaging in the enforcement of an unconstitutional law on behalf of a bunch of merchants against homeless people, I would be more, you know, impressed. But here he's using the velvet glove because, first of all, I have a tape recorder out. It's being recorded, and it's in a public place. A crowd is gathering, and it's politic to do this. So that's important to remember as you listen to this.
Get all your information down.
You may if you want, but that's your affair. As far as I'm concerned, it's unnecessary, just as it was unnecessary for you to come out here.
I really need to give me your first name, your last name.
No, but you have all that information available if you...
And the point here, again, is if a police officer asks you for your name and your ID, unless you're under some probation or parole condition, you're under no obligation to say anything to him whatsoever. In fact, the best thing to say, as I've said many a time, is, am I free to go? Or am I free to go back to what I'm doing, which may be standing where you are, doing whatever you're doing, talking to whoever you're talking to, reading a book, whatever it is. And if he doesn't say, no, you're under arrest, then you can go. If he does say you're not free to go, then you simply say, I have nothing more to say to you. I'd like to speak to an attorney, and I don't consent to a search. They may search you anyway, but you made it clear how you stand. So you notice, however, that he asked me if I had ID on me, and instead of just saying, you know, instead of using my own approach, am I free to go back to what I'm doing, I had a sort of a natural exchange with him. And that can be dangerous, and it's not the best thing for me to model for other people. But I did it anyway because I'm sort of somewhat more freewheeling in the way I approach it. But it's often easier to really have it to be quite controlled and to say, am I free to go back to what I'm doing, officer? Do you have anything more, any other business? And actually what I did was I said, I am free to go back to what I'm doing, obviously, unless you're making an arrest. I don't have to show you ID. And Officer Warren is running around giving people the impression that they do. And that is something that people are suckered into every day by the police department, and they shouldn't be. You should not be allowing police to amass massive files on you and your friends simply because they can intimidate you into doing that. And that's just really unfortunate that that's happening, particularly around these utterly absurd downtown ordinances, which gives the police more power to harass you even further. And then once they've got records on you, it supposedly provides some basis for judges to harass you subsequently. Or to write out declarations against you if you're a street musician 2 years later that result in injunctions being filed against you, as is with the case with Richardson and De Leon.
I hear Nor, so I hear Con. I just want to make sure that I get the right.
I'd like to help you further, but since I regard this, and this is nothing personal,
I don't think
as a frivolous stop, I've got nothing more to say to you at this
time. Okay, fair enough. I'm on
the
right. Hey, you too, man.
Whatever. Of course. No, that's fine. No, I don't mind you. Okay. So, Bernard, how's it going? This is Officer One. It's about 8:05. Police harassment in Santa Cruz. We have an officer here who doesn't like my table being here. Santa Cruz, we have an ordinance that makes it illegal to have a table for more than an hour in any one spot. Is this the United States of America? No, this is Santa Cruz, where we have police officers monitoring political behavior in Santa Cruz. We have stores like the Hat Company and Bunny Shoes, and we don't know who did it, trying to move along a protest. Officer Warren is not prepared to tell us who is forcing this table to move. However, he is taking information on the table. Have your IDs ready, folks, in Santa Cruz, if the police want to talk to you. Is this America? Yeah, but it's also Santa Cruz. Police harassment in downtown Santa Cruz by a very nice police officer, Officer Warren. Harassment on behalf of merchants at Bunny Shoes and the Hat Company. I beg your pardon. Maria says she didn't call anybody, and I'll take her word for it. This is the first...
That's Maria, who owns the Hat Company, who previously told me to fuck off, you crazy bastard, and now she's clarifying that she didn't call the police. And again, you see that sometimes people can use strong words, and yet they continue to communicate. That's what needs to be done in a situation where there are some tensions that are going to arise. And Martin Luther King, I believe, wrote at one point or said that one of the purposes of his civil rights demonstrations was to expose the tensions that are already there and expose the violence that is actually existent underneath the calm, placid, old boy system that's going on. And I think that there's a lot of wisdom in that statement.
Time today I've mentioned the words the Hat Company. I want to point out, this is about Bunny Shoes and harassment of homeless people downtown. Bunny Shoes supports harassment of the homeless downtown. We're trying to stop that. They're calling the police, or someone is calling the police to move a political table. Not a good idea in the United States. Did you vote for Obama? This is what you're getting. Police state activity in Santa Cruz. Not good.
I have a question.
Sure.
Okay. Why aren't you guys talking to ask him what it takes to get this law repealed? Why aren't you guys talking to the city council?
We always do, and they ignore us.
Why do they ignore you?
They feel the law is just fine.
And you don't don't feel it's fine. So,
but if you'd like to be an intermediary, why don't you come to our next meeting?
No, I just want to like get you guys in a better direction.
Well,
I'm very busy.
What's your name?
I don't know, but when
Wait a minute now.
Black Lotus, and you drive a crazy car with stickers all over it.
I used to.
Yes, I like it. Anyways, yeah, dude, you had a Black Lotus.
We have police protection here, folks.
Yes.
Or actually, it's police harassment downtown in Santa Cruz. Why aren't police dealing with rapes and assaults?
Well,
because they're being used by a private security force by the merchants in Santa Cruz. You got to talk to me.
Me and this guy will go rape someone, yeah. Then he'll have a gun.
Well, there are plenty of things police officers to do, or else perhaps we should cut the budget because we need money for other things like children's services instead of increasing paranoia in Santa Cruz.
What would you
do? You support this in Santa Cruz? Do you support bigotry? Well, then buy at Bunny Shoes. Buy at Bunny Shoes, because that's what we're talking about here. The right of people, homeless people, to sleep legally, not anywhere and everywhere, but somewhere at night, legally. That is what we want. That's what these stores are not interested in allowing. And that's why they call the police to remove this kind of protest.
All right, dude, I've got it. Here's the question.
Now we have
this. This is the good one.
Person asking a question.
Yes. So, on this street side, hypothetically, if there was a better place for the homeless people to sleep, not than this street corner, wouldn't that be the thing that you guys should ask
for? Sure. We've asked for it repeatedly. They refuse to do it. What's your name?
Nick. So,
Santa Cruz,
I think what you guys
the city with no shelter at night for homeless people except for 40 out of a population of 1,500 to 2,000.
Okay, so
that's 5%.
Shelter for 1,500 people?
You need to decriminalize sleeping because that's what they have to do at night. That's what you need to do. Yeah, you need shelter too, of course.
How big of an area would that have to be?
We have police photographing a political protest in Santa Cruz.
Of course he is. No shit.
I think it is shit. I think it's a bad idea. I don't think the police should be doing this. I think you should be talking to him, not to me.
No.
The Nazis were trying to do their job in Germany. The police are doing their job in Santa Cruz. There is a difference, but you have to consider what's going on in Santa Cruz.
I'm asking you.
Take care of yourself, Officer Warren.
You call him an Nazi, that's being hypocritical. Now, here's the question.
No, I'm saying, when you say that a police officer is doing his job by harassing a political protest...
They don't listen to you. You just want to talk. Now, listen.
Yeah, I'm talking
how
for... This is going to be on free
area.
Radio.
Okay,
your problem, Nick, is you don't understand what's going on. You don't want to put any time into it.
Exactly.
You want to make passing comments and walk by.
Yes,
that's fine, but I have a job to do here. And that job is to make sure that people are aware of what Bunny Shoes is up to. Are you aware of it?
I don't.
Are you aware of it? Are you aware of it?
No.
Okay, well, that's a problem. You're not listening to what I'm doing.
What?
John, this man is not listening to me. I've tried hard.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I believe you.
Hi, we have a photographer. How's the photography coming?
Mike.
Hey, Mike, so what do you make of this? You've been taking snapshots.
Well, I've been documenting Santa Cruz for about 5 years, and I think it's all horseshit. I mean, they're turning Santa Cruz into Santa Monica.
I tend to agree, you know.
When I'd come down, it used to be I could find all kinds of street performers and interesting folks, buskers, to photograph that are part of Santa Cruz, part of the culture, and slowly they're disappearing. They're being pushed away because someone thinks it hurt their bottom line. Our alleged liberal democratic council, the douchebag who owns Santa Cruz Bookshop, is behind it all.
Wait a minute. You're not talking about Neil Coonerty, our supervisor.
Neil Coonerty.
And Ryan Coonerty, his son, our former mayor.
That's right.
These politicians of great note.
They're supposed to be Democrats and liberal and interesting. They're full of shit. It's about their bottom line. It's all about everybody's bottom line. So we're losing the culture of Santa Cruz because of this horse shit. Because people from San Jose or people from out of state are a little uncomfortable about a homeless guy sleeping on the street because they don't want to see that while they're dropping their dollars at the Urban Outfitters or the Gap. They feel guilty. So it's a lot easier just to push those people out of the way. Push them under the rug, out of sight, out of mind. And it's all horse shit. It's total horse shit.
Why do I feel like I agree?
Well, you know, the problem is, like, nothing's going to happen because you don't have any money and I don't have any money, so therefore we have no say. If you or I had any kind of money around here, then we'd have an input, but we don't.
And hopefully it's not just a matter of money. It's also a matter of people getting together and sharing a common cause and raising their voices. And people do have money. They can choose to shop in certain shops and not to shop in others. That's it for Bathroom Spears Broadsides tonight. I will be around. You probably will be able to find me in front of Bunny Shoes at 1 o'clock on Saturday. If you can't for some reason, or if you want to catch me at another time, 423-HUFF, 423-4833 is the number to call. I will also be available on the air at 9:30 on Sunday, and I hope that you will rejoin the show then. Sorry if the phones have not been working. I've gotten some strange phone calls that cut off, and it's very depressing. But Uncle Dennis is here, and I'm sure that he can resolve these issues far more effectively than I. Thanks for being with me in this edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides.
Yeah. Thank you.